Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
It's great to know that Brandon's a dog guy, because today is a perfect headline for him. No more begging for treats. Dogs now have restaurants, comes courtesy of Christina Morales in the New York Times. Oh, I can't wait to hear how you're taking your dog to a restaurant, Brandon.
Oh, I'm excited, but don't you want me to do the Christina Morales MAGA meter first? Well, she's definitely not MAGA. She's another one of your fancy. I love that you. I think our audience can tell now who picks what article or who sends what, because Christina Morales is another 23-year-old journalist out there spinning the good tale, telling us the good stories. Works for the Times. You got to imagine that she's center left. That's all I'm going to say. She's young. She's writing about dogs, but she's a food editor, so you know she's really talking about like opening restaurants. So I'm gonna go easy on Christina today.
I'm gonna get into how you are a walking, talking face today, but your love for your dog and taking her to restaurants. But Let's get into it. Dog menus have become the new version of children's menus at some restaurants. Pet parents can now order their dog a steak or Alaskan salmon with steamed rice. Dog can wash down that with a non-alcoholic beer made of pork broth or a bowl of dog Paraguayan, that's dog champagne, made with wild-caught salmon oil. Other restaurants have gone a step further, catering exclusively to dogs, from custom canine birthday cakes to food trucks serving chicken nuggets and burgers. And dog, D-U-G-U-E, dogs eat a fine dining tasting menu in San Francisco. The pandemic has prompted an American increase in pet ownership, according to an American Pet Products Association survey, which found 65.1 million U.S. households have a dog. Sales of pet products have risen to $46 billion, and they're going to reach $143 billion this year. Brennan, I know that you love your dog Chin Chin so much. What restaurants did you guys go to this year?
Okay. My dog's name is Rosie.
I thought it was Chin Chin.
She's a, what do they call it, a cherry mix, a cherry something? Anyway, it's she's half Chihuahua, half King Charles Cavalier. So it's a cherrier. That's what she is, a cherrier. I don't know what that means, but she's the best dog I've ever had in my entire life. She's
and
pure
I'm sure
love,
you treat
lover.
Her like a princess and take her to restaurants.
I've never, ever taken her to a restaurant, nor will I ever. Now, I'm not saying my wife wouldn't. I think this, do you want me to start with the absurd or the real? It's really up to you. You can make the call, because this is absurd and ridiculous, and there's also a deep systemic problem with this article, period.
I know that you've taken Chin Chin to a dog restaurant or faking this whole rant you're about to give us. But go ahead, start with the
Well, we did.
Absurd.
I will tell you this. We took her to a bar. Yeah. A bar. Yes. We tried to take her to a bar. It was like a dog bar. You could get beers and they would have dogs.
Okay, now here
and
we go.
Hold on. And they wouldn't let us in because her shot, one of her shots wasn't up to date. I was like, you're kidding. This is bizarre. And then we couldn't go. So that's the only time I've ever tried to take her anywhere of any sort. We do take her to the dog park. My daughter loves to play with her. She's a sweetheart. But look, dude, it's not an accident that these stupid dog restaurants are happening in San Francisco and New York, because they're rich people cities. Because if we were in a poor place and people were hungry, they'd be eating their dogs, not alone feeding them $40 entrees. In a heartbeat, dude. Be skewering her. I mean, this is nuts, dude, that people will, look, okay, it just tells you how much discretionary income people have. There was one point in here that reminded me of something you've always said. It's one of your old saws. I have many. You have just a few, but this is definitely one of yours, about how there are more dogs than kids in San Francisco, and that people get a dog and they think that it's the same as having a kid. That's the psychology behind this. These people take, it's my dog, Bandit, I love him, and they're stupid. They have brains the size of peanuts. They literally would eat you if something happened to you. So I just think it's funny. That's the Larry saw, that there are more dogs and kids in San Francisco, and that's why these restaurants happen there.
Is that the absurd point or the real point you want to make?
That's both. It's both absurd and real. The fact that there's no reason in the world you should have a dog restaurant, period. Sorry. End of discussion. If you go to a dog restaurant, it means you've got way too much time and money on your hands, period. Because the dog does not appreciate that you're giving him a salmon whatever, that you're giving him an entree at a restaurant. That dog would literally, it licks its balls, dude. It's ridiculous.
My mom's
listening. They eat poo, dude.
Okay. So I don't know where to start on this. But
okay.
I feel good and bad about this. I feel bad about the restaurant thing. That's ridiculous, right? But I know so many people that own dogs in San Francisco that could not raise a kid, but this dog, almost like a stress dog, brings them a little bit of relief into life that they otherwise could. By the way, they're mostly single.
Right.
Mostly don't have a lot of friends.
Who?
You know what I mean?
Awkward socially. Are you saying that only socially awkward people
have
dogs?
No, let's strike that comment from the record.
I think it's out there, Mary. It's in the void.
So I do believe dogs play a role in helping people reduce stress. What do they call
them? Of course. Pets in general. Of course.
And it plays an important role in our lives. Our good friend Richard Rohr has had a dog basically his entire life, and he's a single priest. But it borders on psychotic in that these people and adults that have only dogs treat them as kids, and it's not the same. It is not the same. They believe it's the same in their heart, but it is not the same as raising a child.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the term is anthropomorphism. And it's basically the idea of take an animal and you personify, you make it human. That's what, you know, obviously every Disney movie with a talking animal in the world does that. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's lighthearted.
No,
I'm saying it in a Disney movie or whatever to personify an animal. It makes kids understand empathy in a way that they can. So there's plenty of good things for it. But to say that your dog is like, oh, it's part of our family. I'm like, that dog would eat you if they got locked in there with you and it was starving. I mean, it's not a human being. It's an animal. And you know that I was raised on a ranch, a farm. My dad was always very particular about this. He's like, look, we don't name a farm animals. We could name our indoor pets if we had them. We had a cat and a dog. We could name them. But any other animal you didn't name, because they were going to be eaten at some point. He didn't want us to get attached to them. So there's a part of it that's trying to make this animal something it's not, that's problematic.
And I think with everything in life, I have no problem with a grown adult being overly connected to a dog or a cat. I got no problem.
Me neither.
But do you know that? But do you understand in your life, you have problems connecting to people, that you couldn't actually raise a kid? Do you understand the role that dog is playing in your life? Do you know yourself well enough? And that's the problem. I don't think most people do.
Well, I disagree with you that people that love their animals are always get along with other people. There are plenty of people out there that love their dogs and their cats this way, that are perfectly healthy, socialized people that have families. I mean, we got a dog and I fought
That's
it
not what
forever.
I'm talking about, by the way.
No, I know what you're talking about, but you made it sound like, I'm just clarifying for the record. Are you saying that most people that have pets in the city are people that can't get along with other human beings?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because it sounded like you were saying that for the record. You kept saying it over and over.
No.
So what are you trying to say then?
What I'm saying is there are people that own pets in my city that don't understand and can't put into perspective the pet.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the majority is what I'm saying.
I don't know. That's
See,
a good
that's
question.
That's my point. You're pushing at
But what I think the point you're pressing me is that I think all people that own pets are loners. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. So I think even in San Francisco, there's plenty of great pet owners that really love their animals and are not doing it in a weird way. But just, I mean, our dog has been really, really great for our family, great for our daughter. And she's just a great dog. And tomorrow, if something happened to her, I wouldn't get another one. You can't travel. It's a pain in the ass. But you're right. There are some people that take it too far.
Well, but here's my point. You go to this doggy diner or whatever with your pet. You spend $100 on your dog to eat. Dog parnier, whatever that's called. You know, you could use that money, $100, to charity.
Too. Yes. You could do that with so many other things, but they would argue that it's their money, they can do what they want with it.
Because to your point, your dog doesn't know the difference between wild, fresh caught Atlantic salmon and a canned dog food.
Absolutely. And it's crazy. And it's about the human beings, not about the dog.
I mean,
it's like we're not here to pick on dogs. We both love dogs. They're great. But it is these wacko people. And it's obviously they're commoditizing, whatever. I'm butchering the word, the economic term. But they're monetizing, but they're turning it into a commodity. So I think there's a word for that. But they're basically saying, oh, you know, we can get $40 out of these people to make their dogs feel, they make them think that their dogs are feeling special, right? I'm taking my service dog and it feels really special. No, it doesn't. Your dog would feel special at home if you fed it a can of wet dog food. It doesn't know any different. And that's the problem, is that people take it too far. It's like everything. And again, it happens in cities like San Francisco and New York, where people have too much time and too much money and not enough sense about the real world. That's my general take. Us now, I could just hear the phone calls coming in. By the way, those of you that need to make a thing, go larry.olson@gmail.com. That's who you want to argue about this too, because I love all animals and pets and think you should be able to go to any restaurant you want. But those people are wacko.
Yeah, we could continue on down that rant, which I think
I think we've covered.
But there's also some safety regulations. Isn't there, like, making dog food in a human restaurant?
Well, I look, dude, I'm sure that there's some sort of health code involved in it. I'm sure they have to follow some protocol. Is that really what you want to talk about?
Because no,
I mean,
because my thing is always like, what happens there? I know lots of people that have.
They're not a Wuhan wet market, dude. It's not like they're feeding people bats.
I know all sorts of people that have allergies to hairs.
Then don't go to that restaurant.
No, but they take dog. The owners take their dogs to Trader Joe's, and in San Francisco. It seems dogs are allowed anywhere.
But isn't that incumbent upon the business to stop them from coming in? I mean, you know, you could argue that I'm always a little skeptical of the service dog thing. Like, you know, I've got to have my dog. It's a service dog. Like, ironically, there's hardly any service dogs in small towns in America because people don't need a service dog. Only in big cities where people are nuts do you need to have a service dog because you're crazy, because the city's made you crazy, because you're lonely, whatever your issue is. So yes, maybe, but that seems to be more of a public health issue rather than a nut job issue. So I don't know. I mean, that's up to the city to say, no, no dogs here.
Okay. I know you've taken Chin Chin to a restaurant. You just haven't committed yet. I
Never.
Just do believe, like, can you have perspective of what your dog is? Your dog is your pet. It's not a child. If you spend $100 on dog Perignon at a restaurant, you've kind of lost touch with reality about what's important in this life.
The whole mechanism has. I mean, the taking money from fools is ridiculous by these restaurants. The taking
totally.
The dog to these restaurants and feeding them $100 dishes when people are starving, literally, not just figuratively, but literally starving around the world. You're going to take your dog and feed it a $100 entree. That's rude. It's insulting. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's like, it's not like you can't really spoil your dog and give it great. It's just silly. It's like, you know it. I know it. It's ridiculous.
There's a civil war breaking out in Sudan, yet you took your dog to dog and spent oodles of money on dog Perignon.
Yeah. We know people that are actually trapped in Khartoum right now, life and death trying to get out of Khartoum. And you're taking your dog to get dog Perignon. Okay, whatever. I mean, I guess that's the nature of any wealthy society. You're going to have whack jobs in it, but, you know.
I'll be waiting off air for you to confess to me that you have taken your dog Chin Chin to a dog restaurant. Whenever you want, Brandon, off air, you can relate that to me.
Well, Larry, I'd like to thank you once again for introducing the crowd to things that are not true.